This morning, I want to talk to you about when angels come. When angels come. There are so many stories in the Scripture of people who had an encounter with the angel of the Lord, but the Scripture also teaches us there are times when we may entertain an angel without being aware that we are. There may be times when a person can actually see an angel and know the angel's an angel. There may be a time when a person's looking at what they think is a person and who is actually an angel. And there may be a time when an angel is ministering you in some way and there's no one around or people are around, but there's no awareness at all that it's an angel. But angels are real, and the study of angels is important for, I believe, particularly every New Testament believer. Back on March the 8th and March the 9th, Chuck Pierce was with us. And he's a well-known prophetic voice, not just in our nation, but around the world. And he shared with us when he drove up onto the property, he saw the glory of the Lord and he saw an angel. And when questioned, he said it was out in the middle of this green patch here south of the building. And I've shared with you a number of times, and I remind you that it was in the fall of like 2018 when I had a vision at a church on the other side of Killen on a weeknight. Our worship team was worshiping. They were in a time of just worshiping spontaneously. I had an open vision. And I saw an angel come down on this building wasn't here, but I had a vision where a building was here and there was green grass on that end. And the angel came down in the middle of that green grass and said, I want you to launch the Institute of Creativity. So when Chuck was here and he shared with us that when he drove up, he saw an angel there, that was such an encouragement, a further encouragement and a further confirmation to me that we're stepping in the right direction. He also shared when he was here a word for the state of Alabama. He had a set of three keys. Do you remember that? Those keys were the key of faith, the key of revelation, and the key of the angelic. I actually shared a message about those three keys shortly after he had been with us, because we want to steward well where we are and what God has entrusted Grace House with. And we want to see his plans and purposes for this house, this region, and our state come into fruition. So the Lord's led me back to this idea of angels today, and we're going to be looking at a particular angelic encounter that's recorded for us in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 12. When angels come. Let me read the scripture. The occasion is when Peter is put in prison, and his execution is drawing near. James, the apostle James, has already been beheaded by Herod. He saw it made the Jews that were against Christians happy that he beheaded James, and so he arrests Peter, puts him in prison, and because it was the days of unleavened bread, he did not want to upset the Jewish community by executing Peter on that day. So he's waiting. But he's going to behead Peter as well. And right before the time for Peter to be beheaded, God supernaturally delivers Peter from prison, and he uses an angel to do it. Now, I would encourage you at some point to read all of the story, beginning with verse 1 of Acts 12, and read past where I'm going to read, but I'm taking some verses out of the middle of that section that tells us the actual story of the angel and what he did, because we want to break that apart this morning and see if we can learn a little bit more about how things operate in the realm of the Spirit and how God might use angels. Now, to get a complete overview, we would really need to go back through the Scriptures and find every place there was a manifestation of an angel and an encounter that involved angels or some assignment fulfilled by an angel, and kind of study all of that and develop a long list. So we're just going to tiptoe into one story in the New Testament. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would teach us today in Jesus' name. Here's the scripture. We're going to begin in verse 5 of Acts chapter 12. Peter was therefore kept in prison. We're told just before this that there's four squads of guards that are guarding over him, probably 16 people. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. I want you to remember that. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, it was one of these kind of moments. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Now, if you follow the script on out, the story, what happens is he goes to the place where the church was praying. He begins to knock on the door out at the gate. A woman named Rhoda comes out, and he says, "It's Peter, let me in." And she gets so excited, she leaves him outside, runs back to the prayer meeting where the church is praying, and says, "It's Peter. He's out by the gate. It's Peter." And the church, great people praying in faith, said, "No, maybe it's his angel." And Peter kept knocking, and finally they go open it, and he says, "Shh, quieten down. Go tell James and the other brothers." This is James, the brother of our Lord, not James the apostle. James, the brother of John, had just been beheaded. And so he says, "Go tell them what's happened." In other words, "I've been delivered." And then he went to Caesarea, and he hid out for a while. It's a fascinating, astonishing story that we find in God's Word for the church. And it's just as relevant today as it was then. So first of all, let's direct our thoughts toward what God was doing here. What's God doing in this passage? Well, it boils down to this. He sent an angel. And from Peter's own testimony at the end of the story, God sent the angel to deliver Peter from Herod and the expectation of the Jews. They were on a killing spree of Christians. Remember, Paul had been at the center of that before he got converted on the road to Damascus. And so, what was God doing? He was sending an angel to help Peter. You know, he does that for you and me, for us. Hebrews 1:14, the writer of Hebrews says, "Are they not," speaking of angels, "are they not ministering spirits sent to minister to those of us who are heirs of salvation?" That God's still sending angels today. They are real. Their ministry is not only real, it's very needed and very necessary. I think we would be astonished at what God does for us through angels. Now, right up front, there's a ditch on each side when it comes to angels. You've got this ditch over here. There's this myth. There's nothing to that. That's just a bunch of mystical brouhaha. You know, don't believe in the supernatural stuff. That's one ditch. And some believers find themselves in such a ditch, unfortunately. The other ditch is to worship angels, to become overly fascinated and fixated on angels, to kind of flip the script that we're taught in Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll share that with you at the end. Very, very important. But in the middle is, if you're an heir of salvation, you have a teaching from Scripture that says Father God will be sending angels at times to minister to you. And the ways they can minister can be from healing. Remember, the waters were stirred by an angel and the first one in was healed. And that was before the finished work of Jesus that opened up everything for us. They may bring provision to you. And we see at times angels doing that in Scripture. We see angels bringing messages. Around the birth of Jesus, angels were really busy. Joseph had two dreams where in a dream an angel came to him. That tells us that in the realm of the Spirit, and when we become open to the realm of the Spirit as believers, there may be times in your dreams when you actually experience an encounter with an angelic being within the confines of a dream. We tend to think of things in material terms, in corporal terms, like we have a body that you can feel, you can see. But when you're talking about angels, they can take on the form of humans, but they are spirits. Are they ministering spirits? So we can blind ourselves to how this operates, because even in a dream, there can be spiritual activity that's taking place. It's not just a dream where an imaginary movie's playing in your head. A real-time spiritual encounter can take place in the dream. We know that God can communicate very clear and accurate information to you at times in a dream. We have occurrences of that happening in the Scripture. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that every dream you have that God's speaking to you, or that every time you dream about an angel you're actually having an angelic encounter. But I'm saying there are times that those things can be true. So what's God doing here? He's sending an angel. Now, I want you to, because this is a story about Peter, I want to frame what happens over something that had previously happened in Peter's life. You remember the night before Jesus was crucified and he was pouring out his heart and soul in Gethsemane. He was sweating, as it were, drops of blood. You know, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You remember that? Remember that story in Scripture? Where was Peter when that was happening? Peter and James, John, there's a group that Jesus had said, watch and pray. But what were they doing? They were taking a trip to Snoozeville. You know, it was late at night, and they just kept falling asleep. He would come back and check on them. Could you not pray with me 1 hour? You know, like, he really needed their prayer cover, and he knew they needed to be praying for what they were about to step into, and they weren't praying. Well, now here Peter is in a situation, and he has a whole church praying for him when he needs it. I wonder if he thought about that. Also, you remember when they came to arrest Jesus? And Peter pulled out his sword, probably aiming at Malchus's neck, but got his ear instead. And Jesus healed Malchus' ear and told Peter to put up his sword. And he told Peter this, said, don't you know I could ask my Father right now and he would send 12 legions of angels to come and deliver me? Do you know that when Jesus was praying that, You know, he could have said, Father, this is not working out. Send your angels and rescue. And that would I believe Father would have answered that prayer. Because Jesus did what he did as a man full of the Spirit. And he's praying, he's pouring out his soul. And you know what happened after he finished his prayer? Luke records this for us. An angel was sent to him and strengthened him. There are times, Father, we'll say, he did it for Jesus. He did it after his temptation as well. Angels came and ministered to him after he went through all that temptation and everything he went through. Two different occasions in the life of Jesus that's recorded. How many happened that wasn't recorded, we have no idea. But the angels strengthened him. And that's, they can strengthen you in your physical body. They can strengthen you in your emotions, your mental state. They can strengthen you spiritually. They have the capacity to do that. One vision I had when I was in UAB Hospital, I had this vision that involved angels, and they were touching people with swords, and love was going into some, and hope, and joy, and peace was just coming into people. Some people have a seer gift where at times they can see activity like that in the realm of the Spirit. It's not something you just flip a switch and say, well, I'm going to see now. It doesn't work that way. It's initiated where the Lord opens your eyes to enable you to see. And I've had a few occasions when that type of thing has happened. But the spirit realm is, well, it existed before this world existed. In that sense, it's more real than this world is. And so Peter, in the middle of this, like, is this real or is this not? These are things that God was doing. See, Jesus didn't have those 12 legions to come and rescue him. His purpose was to die on the cross. And he went there and he died there. Then God raised him to the dead. But the Father did send an angel to strengthen him to fulfill his purpose. Peter's in prison. He wasn't praying for Jesus when he should have been, but he's got a church praying for him, and Father does send an angel to deliver him. James, what was the church doing? What was the church? They were praying. We read it. They were in constant prayer. They were in constant prayer for Peter that he be delivered. That's what the church was doing. They were praying. And we'll see a little bit more about that as we move through this. But Peter had people praying for him, and the Lord did send an angel to deliver him. Now imagine after all settled, he realized, you know, but it was so that God's purpose for his life could be fulfilled. The Lord didn't send an angel to deliver James. He could have, but he didn't. James died. And we don't like to hear this. I mean, none of us like to hear somebody losing their life. Do you know that even today, particularly like an underground church in China, different places like Cambodia, North Korea, and behind the Desert Curtain and strongly Islamic countries where there's a lot of militant types, that there are still tens of thousands, even more than that, every year that are being imprisoned and are dying for their faith in Christ. One of my mentors, Bill French, in days gone by, he's now with Jesus, he taught that he believed that there was a gift of martyrdom. I would probably say it this way. There's a grace to face whatever you have to face to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And for James, he gave his life. For Peter, his life was spared because of God's purpose on his life. Well, you might say, well, the church wasn't praying like they should have been, or James would have been delivered. Jesus went all the way to the cross. And there are times when people enter into the sufferings of Christ and it results in martyrdom. It happens every day. We are so blessed in our nation that the level of persecution is just so minimal compared to what some of our brothers and sisters around the world face on a daily basis. to be in a meeting like this. They are putting their life on the line. But yet they meet and they worship, even knowing it could cost me my life for being here. But Peter gets delivered. And to me, there's a beautiful interplay in that when you compare those two events in Peter's life. So let's kind of break this angelic encounter apart. Let's take a look at an angelic encounter. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to work through the text quickly, and just so we can learn a little bit from this encounter that Peter had with the angel. First of all, as I've just been talking about, the angel was sent into a life or death situation. God knows what's going on in your life. He's not just watching and observing. He's a lot more involved than you think he is. How many times have our lives been spared because God sent an angel? I know I preached a message on angels probably, 8 or 9 years ago. And I shared with you a story when I worked at Monsanto in Decatur. And we were on the third floor of a building, had cut a big hole out because there was a huge piece of new machinery that needed to be brought into the building. So they had to lift it up with a 75-ton crane, swing it around, and push it into the hole we had created in the siding, and then so that they could move it into place. Well, we were trying to get that thing through the hole, and it was kind of stuck. So I had a big, long steel bar, and I put it in there, and I was trying to pry it to get it loose. I was backed up against an I-beam, and this piece of machinery that weighed tons and tons. It was very heavy. I was pulling on that, then all of a sudden, it's just like I was just pulled back out of the way. And I'm thinking to my mind, I need to move, but before I could even get the thought out of my, I was like moved back out of the way. And just in an instant, that machine gave way, partially came through the hole and slammed up against this I-beam. It was about a 16-inch I-beam, and just put a big dent in it right where I was standing. It would crushed me to death instantaneously. Explanation? Oh, well, it's quick on his feet. No. I believe an angel of the Lord rescued me. And I've heard some of your testimonies. Some of you that were in the military and on the battlefield. Oh, if we could only see ways that God moves through his angels protecting people. Well, what about the ones that die? You know, I'm just going to give God the glory for people whose lives were extended and pray for the families of those that lost their life. You can't figure all this out. But God still sends angels, and many times delivering people out of life and death situations. Who knows when a healing occurs, even when we have healings here, you know, and we're laying hands on the people, who knows how many times there may be angels surrounding that situation too. Secondly, there was a supernatural light that was present. That's the first thing we're told, that a light shone in the prison. Implied, before the angel showed up, no light. So this was a divine lighting. A shining, a manifestation of God's glory. God is light. There's a scripture that says God is light. So, and that can often be the case where there's angelic ministry. I remember I was at our state when our Chief Justice was being installed, and I was there with a group and we were praying. And I remember seeing on the stage behind each justice a illuminated being that I knew as an angel, all except one. And I won't go there, but I asked about it afterwards, and it was like it lined up. I remember I was with Mark and Robin. They had got an invitation for us at a church in Guatemala City, Guatemala. And it was awesome how the people were worshiping and praising, It was just a wide open Holy Ghost service, and I'm up there preaching, and this happens occasionally, but I'm preaching, and I see a suspended white light in the room, and it moves, and it's hard to describe, but it's like a translucent, I would say orb, but it's kind of a circular shape, not a bright light, but you can tell it's illuminated. And I knew this was in the spirit. I don't think any other people were seeing it, but I could see it, and it moved up, and it stopped right over a man from where I was preaching. It would be about where Gary is down there, a little over that way. It was a bigger room than this. And I, across time, I've just kind of learned when that happens to really pray and be sensitive. But when I saw this and I looked at the man, I immediately, my right lung just started burning. I knew something's going on in the right lung. And well, the faith atmosphere was in that place. I thought, I'm going for this. And I just, sir, would you please stand? I said, the Lord tells me that you really have in your right lung, you really have a real serious thing going on. I'm having a burning in my right lung. And we're having to translate this. Is that true? And he began to shake his hand. We prayed for him. The Lord came upon him and touched him. That's, I believe, probably that's an angel. In a sense, the angel's bringing a message. Hey, you, dummy, up there, right here. The Lord wants to do something with this person right here. You know, there's a message in it. So who knows the way the Lord may choose to use his angels? There was a supernatural light that was present around this being. The third thing that we see, the angel struck Peter on the side. What's that mean? Hey, Peter. It says, he did this. It says he struck him on the side. Next, the angel seized him. He said, raise him up, right? He struck him, grabs him, and says, arise quickly, like helping him up. Arise quickly. So he struck him. He seized him. You know, help pick him up. And the angel spoke to Peter, commanding him to arise quickly. So here we see that this angel, Peter could know he's being touched. This angel had taken a form. Peter could feel himself being touched. He was struck. The angel is now speaking to him. He can be heard. And so these are things that we see just from this story. I remember one night, Mickey and I were fast asleep. The middle of the night, it was just like that, woke me up. I thought it was Mickey. Well, she was fast asleep, and there, you know. So when that happened, I said, okay, Lord, what's going on? You know, and I just started praying, and the Lord revealed something to me that He wanted me to see, and it was just kind of similar. Sometimes, and I've had people tell me, you know, it's like I felt somebody touch me. And there was no one there. And I'm not talking about one of those things that I sometimes will play with people and tap them on the wrong side and walk in front of them. And they look around, there's nobody there, just having fun, you know. I've done that to some of y'all here, just having some fun. But no, there's nobody there, but somebody was there and they touched you. Some of you may have experienced that. I've been touched on the back that way. But when that happens, realize that it may be the Lord's wanting maybe using an angel, wanting you to be aware of something that He wants to do. I would encourage you, if something like that happens, quieten yourself. Lord, is there something that you want to say to me? Lord, is there something you want to show me? Lord, is there somebody I need to pray for? And just pay attention to what comes from your spirit. Sometimes somebody may come to your mind and you start interceding. Sometimes a situation may come up, but now you've got an illuminated answer that comes to you. That's the Lord. Because like for me in the middle of the night, you know, I'm thinking that's probably when the Lord thought He might could actually get my attention. Who knows? But the angel spoke to Peter, commanding him to arise quickly. And then it says the chains supernaturally fell off Peter's hands. Supernaturally fell off Peter's hands. Supernaturally, that one, they just fell off. Right? Like, whoa. You know, this is like, whoa. No problem for God. I mean, the angel just, there's the chains. Chains, supernatural. This is supernatural. The chains fell. Well, if things like that can happen supernaturally, and we'll see a little later, gate opening on its own, that kind of stuff happens. Now, I do need to insert this too, just because I always want to keep both oars in the water, Spirit and the Word. Some of the things we've already covered, Satan himself can turn himself into an angel of light. Do you know his name, Lucifer, before he rebelled, meant light bearer? So there can be, whatever God does, there can be a false, perverted version of it. And even sometimes I've dealt with people where I know a dear brother that I prayed with a few times. He has a cross on the wall. It falls off all the time. No matter how he secures it, it will fall off. Now, that's not the Holy Spirit, because he's got a lot of other stuff going on too that we've prayed about. I've seen objects move in deliverance ministry, that kind of stuff. I've seen things appear that weren't there and then disappear. I know that may sound bizarre, but I'll just let you deal with that. I'm just telling you what I've seen happen. The enemy, there's stuff that he can do, but it's to distract, it's to deceive, it's to destroy, it's to derail you, it's to get you in one of those ditches. When the Lord's doing something through an angel, it's to strengthen you, it's to equip you, it will exalt Jesus Christ, there'll be divine purpose in it. So we have to keep that in mind. Next, the angel gave him further instructions. He said, gird yourself. So Peter, it sounds like he was pretty much down to his shorts, so to speak. Gird yourself. And then he said, tie on your sandals. Then he tells him, put on your garment. Then he tells him, follow me. He gave him the sequence of instructions. So he's communicating, and Peter is hearing, understanding, and obeying what he's told to do. Again, now what makes this different is this is Peter, an apostle of Jesus, and this is a supernatural entity, an angel, that is manifested in material space. He can be touched, he can be heard, and he can be seen. Peter follows the angel out of the prison. He's obeying it. He said, you follow me. So the angel is showing him the way out of the prison. We'll talk about the guards in a moment, because they're walking by all of them that are charged not to allow him to leave. And as a matter of fact, they know that if they allow him to leave, they're going to die, as we'll see. Next we see Peter thinks he's having a vision. This is the point in the story where Luke records for us that Peter doesn't know that what's happening is real, but thinks he's just having a vision. Now, this gives us two different things to think about. Number one, because Peter's had a lot of visions. Remember in Acts chapter 10, he's on the rooftop waiting on lunch. He takes a nap. He falls into a trance. That is a suspended state of being. He has an open vision where he sees a sheet falling down from heaven. He gets words of knowledge about two men that are at the gate. He gets a prophetic information and more words of knowledge. You're going to go to the house, go with them where they're going. And then when he gets there, the fireworks happen. So he's had a lot of this stuff going on in his life, but he's in the middle of this. He doesn't know if it's real. He thinks it's a vision. So you can have visions that seem like it's really happening. Really happening, like you're in the middle of something that's really happening. Like you're not just watching a movie, you're in the movie. It's like Paul that describes the man that went to the third heaven, and he says this, and I think Paul was giving his own testimony. Paul was just real careful not to brag about his spiritual experiences. So he tells it like, I know of a man. And he says, caught up into the third heaven. Now, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Like you can have an experience. Did all of me leave here and go there? Did my spirit leave my body and I was there in the body? I don't know. But there are those kinds of experiences that are sanctioned by Scripture. And there are versions of that that people have that are not sanctioned by Scripture. And you usually tell the difference by who's given the instructions. Now, the guards were all supernaturally paralyzed. And when you read on in the text, Herod has them all put to death. It cost these, ever how many, up to 16 people their lives because this one man was delivered. That's all on Herod and all on the devil. But it's an angel of God that came to deliver Peter. So they're going by these guards. Now, he's chained between two soldiers. I mean, they're right there when these chains fell off. Clink, 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 clink. They're right there. When the angel said, get up, rise quickly, tie on your sandals, gird yourself up, get your garment, let's get going, come on, follow me. They're right there, but they're non-responsive. Then there's guards right outside the door of the area where Peter is in. They just walk right by them. Then they go by another post of guards. Then they get to the gate. I'm sure there were guards there as well. And when they get to the gate, well, what do we see? The gate supernaturally opens before them. The angel carried the capability, carried the authority given in heaven to use his powers in order to cause chains to fall off of Peter, cause men to become paralyzed. It's like a Holy Ghost-induced coma. And who knows? They might have been able to watch this going on, but couldn't do a thing about it. I'm not going to say this, but I feel like I'm supposed to because it's going to may help someone here. There's also a version of this paralysis that's demonic. I've had it happen to me before. Where you... In the night, you wake up, and you're awake, you know you're awake, and you can't get any part of your body to move. And it seems like it goes on and on and on. And maybe you're suffocating and you can't breathe. You can be attacked that way. And I had to learn what was going on, but as soon as I prayed the prayer I needed to pray, no more problems. Now, I'm saying that to make a point. Anything that God does in a holy, pure, for His purposes way, the enemy tries to mimic and mock and imitate that for opposite purposes. You've heard me say, I've even got a book I've been working on every now and then called Satan the Copycat, where we're looking at all the different things that God does and how the enemy will try to mimic them in order to deceive people. And that's one of them. But these guards become paralyzed. They're helpless. They can't do anything. This angel was given the authority to use his powers to freeze them in place, to cause those chains to fall off, and just his presence caused the iron gate to open. Now, talking about the mimicking, I remember one time praying for a man and his wife. I went to their house. There was a situation going on. We got discernment about a fear issue that one of them was having. I won't give you more details than that. But in the name of Jesus, you know, we bind you, you spirit of fear, and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. We're in a house. The door of the room we were in was wide open. No air conditioning was on. No windows were open. But when I said in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave now, that door went wham! The devil closed the door on his way out, or either the Lord closed the door behind him. I don't know. But it was something supernatural happened. That kind of stuff happens. We are to live supernatural. We're not going to seed on it, not getting in the ditches. But listen, there's so much Scripture that teaches us these things. The gate supernaturally opened before him. Then the angel leads him down one street. just getting him far enough away that he can handle it from there. And then it says the angel departed from him. And then the last thing here, Peter comes to himself. This is when that moment, oh, it wasn't a dream. It wasn't a vision. I'm out. Jailbreak. Holy Ghost jailbreak. You know, angelic prison break. It's awesome. Peter comes to himself and realizes the whole thing was real. And there's some of you sitting here today, you've had some of this stuff happen to you, and you've been afraid to even tell anybody because you felt like they'd think you're nuts. Now, two statements. God sends angels to serve us. I began with this, Hebrews chapter 1. You know what Hebrews chapter 1 is about? It's about correcting the exaltation of angels. The writer, because everybody believed in angels, understood how God would use angels. You've got Michael and Gabriel, archangels, Lucifer, a fallen angel. You've got all of the hierarchy and so forth. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, to which of the angels, as he said, sit here until I put all your enemies at your footstool. He's exalting Jesus. He begins by saying, in times past God spoke through the prophets in piecemeal fashion, but he has in these last days has spoken and continues to speak, Greek tense there. He has spoken and continues to speak to us through his Son. You see, Father has given Jesus a name above every name. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't you worship, don't you exalt the angels because the enemies are put at the footstool of Christ. He says, those angels, they're just ministering spirits sent to minister to you who are heirs of salvation. And even reading that, it helps me realize, man, in the first century, this was commonplace understanding for them that angels are real. This stuff goes on. Their problem was they would go overboard with it at some times. And he said, no, you keep it about Jesus. God sends angels to serve us, but God sent Jesus to save us. And that's the message of the book of Hebrews. He has, by one offering, perfected forever those that are sanctified. It's the exaltation as Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the sufficient sacrifice. So, keep your eyes on Jesus. You worship and you exalt Jesus. But hey, come on, let's have an awareness. Let's have an appreciation and an honor for the ministry of the angels. In their place, God created them. God designed them. God sends them. Thank you, Lord, for the angels who minister to us. Thank you, angels, for ministering to us. We recognize that you look at our lives and you kind of are in wonder that God would love us the way he does. Right? Isn't what Peter says? But you keep it in the right place. And so, we would see Jesus. This is all so that Peter's life could be extended so he could preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and declare his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ to see men, women, girls, and boys come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to stand with me. Our worship team is coming. Our prayer team members are making their way to the front right now. And there are some of you that have been stirred. The Lord's speaking to your heart. You must say, I don't even know why, but I'm just feeling a stirring. I need prayer. Pay attention to those stirrings. Pay attention to those promptings. You may not know, but the Lord knows what you need to receive. And if you need prayer, if you're needing prayer, brother, come on up. That's fine. We'll go ahead and pray with you. Anybody else, just come on up right now. Come on up. If you need prayer from where you are. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I'm telling you, this supernatural realm is real. And when you leave this life, there is one you'll enter into. And I pray to God that you will know Jesus when that moment comes. Why not give your life to Christ today? Are you sure if you were to die today that you would enter God's heaven? Have you confessed Jesus as Lord of your life? There'll be someone here that will gladly pray with you. Maybe you're struggling with something. You know, just like the Lord sent angels to minister, to strengthen. He uses prayer. He uses people. We just welcome you to come, whatever your need may be. We may need a few more people on this side over here. And God bless you, Lisa. This past week, we've really been praying for you. I know it's been a year since David went to be with Jesus. God bless you and those boys. Just commend you for how you're keeping your eyes on Jesus and mothering these young men. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else you need prayer, step out from where you are. We have folks here to minister to you. God is so good. We're just not here to go through routine and ritual. We want you to encounter God's presence, His saving power, His healing power, His delivering power. He can strengthen, He can encourage, He can help you. You're not alone. He invites you to draw near to Him. He will draw near to you. Are there others? You come. If you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes upon you and the power of God comes upon you, listen, every one of us deeply need that encounter with God. It changes things. It awakens things within you. We'll be glad to pray with you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you've never followed the Lord into the waters of water baptism, come and make that commitment. We'll set up a time and we'll get you baptized. Are there others? You come. So we begin to worship.
And all I need to do is worship. And say His name out loud. All I need to do is lift my hand.
Have your way, Lord.
And bow down. All I need to do is find Him. All I need to do is let His presence fall. All I need to do is worship.
There's someone you've really been struggling with, pain in your right hip area and down the thigh on the right side in that area. I believe the Lord's wanting to touch someone with healing this morning that's struggling with that. I know that's kind of a general thing, but I feel like the Lord is speaking that. I encourage you to come if you need prayer. You just come on up and receive prayer. I need some more prayer team members, please. As the Holy Spirit is touching hearts across the room, you just please be sensitive and let's reverence what He's doing, respect what He's doing. Thank you all for being here this morning. May God's grace be greatly upon you. May His peace guard your heart and your mind. And may you be surrounded by His holy angels. Now let's change the world. God bless you. Thanks for being here. This altar remains open. We're just going to continue to minister. Linger as long as you like. Leave when you're ready. God bless you.